Good morning, folks. Today's my talk topic is Apache OFBs in the cloud. Let me introduce myself. My name is Deepak Dikshit. I joined Apache OFBs in February 2009, and then continuously I am working for the betterment of the Apache OFBs community. And then now I am a part of the PMC, Apache OFBs PMC as well. In 2018, I invited to join as ASF member, so I accept that invitation, and now I am the part of the ASF member as well. And regarding my professional career, I joined Hotrex again in 2009, and since I am working with the various kind of projects regarding manufacturing and retail or all sort of thing, right now I am leading the product engineering in Hotrex Commerce. So like I am the director of the product engineering at Hotrex Commerce and leading the whole product development team regarding the same. So like earlier we told that today's topic is Apache OFBs in the cloud. So you are all aware of that in nowadays cloud is getting much popular. So all sort of technology and all tools are deployed on the cloud and available on the cloud. And they are all using the cloud services for their performance, high scalability and betterment or sort of thing. Cloud services now getting enhanced day by day to provide much better performance and the much, you can say, the services at the better cost. So like in case of OFBs, we also deployed our OFBs on the Apache cloud, so that we can use all the cloud services for the OFBs instance. So like most of the companies are using Apache OFBs for their for solving their complicated business problems. So while solving this problem, they need some hardware, some sort of services and all sort of thing. So the companies want some high scalability and high availability while execution. So like in old days, if you want to manage your site or your services for your peak time, so you need to maintain the infra, all sort of services for the whole time. So like while using cloud, you can use the services on demand or sort of thing. So Apache OFBs and cloud is the perfect fit for those type of companies, those want to solve their business complication along with the high scalability and the performance. So today we are going to have overview of this, what are the various services and sort of thing. And to keep in mind the audience, I am not going too much technically. So here we are just offering the overviews and all sort of thing. And if you have any query and concern, then you can directly shoot me an email, then I will happy to provide you the further details for that. So here is the agenda for today's presentation. We will talk about the deployment in cloud, leverage images, like how can we use the AMI and Docker and other image sort of thing. Third is the available database options on the cloud. Fourth, continuous integration and continuous deployment. It's again most popular thing nowadays, and how we can use these to set up the OFBs and for the gain the atomic deployment and all sort of thing. And again, then we'll talk about load balancing and the session management. So again, here is the deployment in the cloud. So like I already told you that there are lots of cloud services and their offerings that enables you to deploy your application on the cloud. So you can use cloud as a platform as a services, software as a services, or infra as a services. So all sort of things are available in the cloud. And cloud deployment models can use the architecture and your custom solution to provide the access or the high availability to the users. So like here, advantage of using cloud computing, we can say that cost saving, scalability, control choice. So like in cost saving, as earlier I told that if you want to manage your peak time load, so earlier you have to manage all the infra on premises. So in case of that, there might be some 2 to 3 months that you are getting the peak load, and then it might possible that the load will be average or below average. So like in cloud deployment, we can attach or detach machines on demand, or we can have the services on demand so that it will be available on the when we need it, and rest of the time we can have the limited services, so it will be easily cost effective. Again, the scalability, like in case of cloud servicing, you can attach as many as machine you want. You can scale it horizontally or vertically. Horizontally means you can add new instance dynamically, like n number of nodes, and vertically means you can attach multiple CPUs and memory on demand, so that based on your need you can have the options for the scalability or sort of thing. And again, here control choice means like you want the platform as a services or infra as a services or software as a services. Like in case of Gmail, they are providing software as a services sort of thing. Docker is there, we'll talk about that. It's a platform as a services. And like AWS, they are providing infra as a services. So it's up to your choice then what kind of services you want to use on the cloud. So like elasticity, we already talked about that. It reduces the cost of your operations. Like when you need, you can have on-demand machines. When you don't need, you can detach them or shut down them, then you don't need to pay for this. Like same thing for the database of cloud services as well. If you need multiple multiple nodes or the heavy load, then you can have the multiple replicas of the database, so that it will be accessed by the multiple instance, and the cloud services automatically take care of their synchronization and atomic management. And like access to atomic update, like if we are using Java or any sort of services, then we get the security patch update or its latest updates. So it cloud services easily maintain those things, and we can have easily updates. So we don't need to worry about to down the instance for the longer time. It's easily available on the cloud. So we already told about the Amazon. So there are lots of cloud computing services available in the market. Some of them I listed here. These are the most popular names, like Amazon Web Services, Microsoft Azure, Google Cloud Services. Apart from this, there is IBM Cloud, Rackspace Cloud, Oracle Cloud, and many more. So we can have any of these cloud services to deploy the Apache Webbase instance, and we can easily manage Apache Webbase deployment in all sort of the web services. So like we'll talk about the Webbase deployment. So it's not much complex to deploy Webbase on Apache Cloud. We can simply download the Apache made setting regarding the entities, database setup, run the data load command, and start the Webbase instance. Like Webbase uses the Tomcat as an application server. So we need to have some configuration regarding Apache to access the instance on the web address. So that is the same thing that we use for the regular deployment. So we can deploy Webbase on the cloud with easy setup. So we don't need to do anything much complex thing. So earlier I told about the images. So images is a file compressed with the multiple layer of the multiple layers used to execute code in a certain container. Like earlier days we faced some problem in the development section, like some code are working fine in the dev stage instance, but it fails to execute properly in the production instance. It might be due to setup configuration issues regarding some properties changes, all sort of things. So these kind of images services provide the consistent deployment model through the development to the production instance, so that we can use these services or the images sort of thing for like faster setup, simplified pricing, continuous deployment testing. We'll talk about the continuous deployment, what is it. Multi-cloud platform, like all the Docker and AMI images are supported from all the major cloud services. Like we can easily standardize and use the version control system. Isolation, we'll talk about it in the Docker thing. And the security, like the images are the virtualization of image. When we run an image, it creates a virtual host inside the machine. So it's a machine inside the machine with have all those sort of security at the Docker level. So Docker or the any image level. So we can have all those things. Yes. And like in case of OFBS, OFBS relies on the multiple other services like database. If you want to use some search services like Elasticsearch or Solr, and then Apache Camel if you want to have integration using the Apache Camel and all sort of thing. So we can easily configure these dependent things, and all the images are available on the cloud, and it's one step to use those images. So we don't have to worry about the its complication. So like in case of Amazon, like in case of AMI stands for Amazon Machine Images. So we can create the single AMI instance and can use it for the multiple deployment, or you can have one image for the one deployment. Again, like as earlier I told that how can we use images. So this is an service that provided by the Amazon. So we have the OFBS for starter image available on Amazon, so you can directly download it from there and use it for your cloud setup. So I think it's on the recent stable release, that is on previous stable release, that is on 1307. So we can create our own images and use it accordingly. So like I told about Docker, so Docker is now very much popular tools for the image management thing. You can create your own images using Docker build and then launch the Docker container in attached or detached mode. So attached and detached mode is like, detached is a like background processing. Once you run your Docker image, it will run in background. So you don't have to worry about the termination of the process when you close the terminal or sort of thing, and then you can simply access the instance for the local host and the web routes. So for Docker images thing, we have another like for database we have MySQL and Postgres and all sort of images available, and for Solr and Camel and other things we have images. So we can have set up like dependent image setup. So while maintaining the Docker configuration file, for Docker setup you have to create a Docker file where we execute all the commands, how you need to run your instance on Docker, what kind of services you need, or what kind of OS level softwares you need for the installation. So for Docker we can have like we need XOS, so it's create virtual host for that, and download all sort of Java and other services that you want at OS level. Then you can define the dependent images like for database, because you don't include database inside Docker, because for each deployment it will vanish and create the new instance for the database. So for database you have to rely on the outside from Docker. So for that you can launch the my database image as well as the Solr and other services image. So these are available on cloud and we can configure it in Docker. So like OFBS also depends on the assets that's being uploaded by the user or configured while setup. Like assets means the product images or the some sort of attachment or the profile images and PDF, all sort of thing. So we can easily mount other volume with our Docker virtual container, so that we don't need to worry about the losing all these assets and the resources that user is uploaded or we uploaded for the execution. So we can mount volumes as well, so, and it's easily available on cloud. Like in case of Amazon, there is a S3 bucket and other sort of thing that can be easily used for these kind of services. Like storefront regarding like for image management, we have a lots of services for the image management. It's someone called is dynamic media, someone called is the image processing, all sort of thing. Like in case of Amazon, we have Amazon CloudFront, S3 Bucket, and the Lambda services that will be used for, that should be used for the image processing sort of thing. So you don't need to worry about scaling and all size images. It will automatically create the image as needed, and also it provide the caching at the zone level, like for Asia zone, or there are n number of zones, so it will cache the images and serve from the your nearest. So it will improve performance of the instance, and you don't need to scale all sort of image on your side. It automatically taken care by these services. So as earlier we told about some database operations on the cloud, so the database options available on the cloud that typically runs on cloud computing platform and access the database provided by as a service, like we talked about the software as a service, platform as a service. So database service take care of scalability and high availability of the database, so that we don't need to worry about the load things. If load getting higher, it's create another node and scale it accordingly, so your site get the proper performance. So for cloud database, like we talked about scaling vertically or horizontally, like I earlier told that vertical scaling means you don't need, you can add CPUs and RAM on the fly as needed. And regarding horizontal scaling, you can add new nodes on the fly. Like multiple database supports available for structured data like MySQL, Postgres, MS SQL, and all sort of the major database are supported by the cloud. Simplicity, you don't need to too much complication. You not need to have too much configuration at the database config file, because all sort of thing managed by these cloud services, so you can easily configure it from the their UI sort of thing. Atomic management like for scaling thing, if an node or any server getting the high load, then it automatically add the new instance on the fly, so that you can so that your database server doesn't get too much load and it's distributed among this. And for their synchronization part, all these are taken care by these cloud services. Robust, minimal downtime, speed, performance, and backup and security. So all these are the major operations provided by the cloud databases. So here are the major cloud database options available: Amazon RDS, Cloud SQL, Google Cloud Spanner, and many other more. So like in case of, if you talk about the Amazon RDS, so they provide some enhanced networking tool, so that the communication between your application and the database will be much faster and the with less latency time. So we'll talk about it later. So like here we took an example how we can configure an Amazon RDS. So simply we have to create database. We take an example of MySQL. Add database related information like how much database DB you need and its sort of security settings. Refer the endpoint detail and we'll use that endpoint in the entity engine configuration file, so that our OFBS can access this remote database server. So here is a simple example. You need to log in to console.aws.com. Here you have to select the database. Like there are lots of database options available. So we have selected the MySQL as our preferred database. You need to name the database instance. It's like here, this endpoint will be used to communicate the OFBs with the database service. Update your entityengine.xml file, and here we use this URL endpoint as a JDBC URI so that we can access the setup RDS with the instance. So like Amazon RDS, there is also available Google Cloud Services for the database. But Google also introduced a new database concept, new database, it's named Cloud Spanner. Cloud Spanner is scalable, enterprise-grade, and globally distributed and strongly consistent database service built for the cloud. It's scaled horizontally, so you don't need to worry about load. When needed, it's automatically add the new nodes accordingly. And when load is reduced, it automatically shut down the new nodes. So it's used for replication. It's synchronous and strongly consistent. It provides the horizontal scaling. But like it's uses some different kind of SQL. So we need to change some code level. We need to do some code level changes is in OABS side, like to create database table. It also does not provide the metadata info, so we have to change codes that relies on the metadata things like creation or adding new column or updating the existing one. And we had in some POC regarding Cloud Spanner, and luckily we are able to run our POC successfully on the Cloud Spanner. So for Cloud Spanner thing, again you have to log in to the Google Cloud Service, create database, and just link with it our OABS entity engine.xml file. Again, it works with tokenization thing, so it does not provide the username and password for JDBC URI access. So that part also should be taken care at the OABS side. So like in as per current implementation, OABS username, database username and password is required in the entity engine. So if you want to use Cloud Spanner, then you have to alter that code so that it can be accessed from the token itself.
Yeah, I'm understand there are a few framework changes required on OS3
yes.
fully
compatible
with this technology.
Yes.
But they are not huge, right?
Yes, they are not. They are very minimum changes. Like as I remembered, one is the database changes that required for the create table syntax, because it's the NoSQL database that provide the support for structured database. So there is a syntax difference, so it's hardly one or two liner changes in the database creation part. One, as I already told about the metadata, like in OABS, we get the database metadata and compare if the table size is changed or the column size is changed and new field added or need. So we get all these things from the metadata. But Cloud Spanner JDBC driver does not provide that part. So we have to handle this that case as well. And third one is the username and password thing, because it uses the tokenization, so it does not provide the username and password. So these are the major things that we need to change or configured, and then we are able to run these on the with OABS instance. Mm-hmm.
I know that the JDBC
driver
is constantly
enhancing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So hopefully in the future
we'll get the yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Cloud Spanner also provide the API as well as the JDBC driver, so that in case of OABS, we have to rely on the JDBC driver thing, because it's already compatible with the OABS framework. So with the minimum changes, we can use the Cloud Spanner efficiently. So here, enhanced networking, a new term introduced, generally introduced by the Amazon Web Services. So like there are some issues when we communicate with the database with the other instances, so the network latency time is too high, and sometime if your application is communicating very frequently with the database, so your application performance may get down. So to reduce this thing, Amazon introduced the enhanced networking thing. So enhanced networking uses single root IO virtualization. They called it SRIOV. And they did some changes at kernel level so that any AWS instance which is enabled with the enhanced networking, if it communicate with the RDS, so the latency time much they reduce latency time in a much higher way, so that your performance, like you are running the database on the same machine, so it will improve your performance in a drastic way. And again, it used to provide high performance network capability, but there are some pricing difference. If you use simple AWS EC2 instance, then pricing may be different. If you used an EC2 instance with enhanced networking, then price may be different, but it's not too much high. But it's a very good option if you want to use any cloud services, cloud database services with instance. So like ENA, we called it ENA, enhanced networking, enables AWS server decrease the latency on the virtual network that connect the application server with the database server. So like as we already talked about it, so it reduced the latency time. Jeffu, you want to say something?
Yeah.
So I think we are good till now, so we can move further, or do we have any questions sort of thing?
So far so good,
that's good. Like if you have further any question regarding anything, you can directly shoot an email to me. I will provide what I can. And like for Cloud Spanner, we had a POC and some sort of page. Soon enough, we'll upload that things on the WebBiz Jira issue so that other can leverage that part as well. So moving to our next topic, our topic is CI/CD. Yes. So what is continuous deployment? Like continuous deployment is a strategy for software releases wherein any code commit that passes the automated testing. Like in case of frequent development, we may have some issues regarding the processes. Like if we change one process, it may affect the other as well. So like in case of continuous deployment, we can configure the test cases execution and other all kind of validation thing. While if code pushes on the repository, then it will automatically execute that part and make sure that we are in a good condition. We are not breaking any other things. So this is generally used for the production or the release setup thing. Like you can develop the features on the trunk, and then when you create a release, you can have the continuous deployment thing. It will automatically test the your code and deploy it on the instance, and you can automatically access this instance on the fly. So you don't need to worry about the sysadmin guy to deploy the changes on the instance and available it in the next day. So we can use continuous deployment thing in many ways. So like here, these are the basic points. Automate the repetitive task and focus on actual testing, like for the running the unit test cases and code pattern checks. So you don't need to run these kind of things manually. You can just configure it in the CI/CD environment, and it will automatically execute it with the each code push. Make deployment friction, because we configured it in the one time, so there is no chance to miss any steps while deployment, like the database configuration or the some patches or the property things. So as it already following the same steps, so there is less chances that it messed up with anything. So like here, we can create our custom workflow for the development, testing, and production environment. Like in case of a testing environment, the test credential and the volume that is being mounted can be shared. For testing environment, it's only for the QA testing. So for each feature, you have the fresh database setup and all sort of things. And for production, you have to be very careful while setting it, so that it doesn't delete the log or the database settings or any sort of configuration changes that you have made. So like we already talked about, it's for faster software build, reduced time to market, improvement of code quality, and efficient developers. Like if we have all checks in place, then the at the developer end it will easy to review their changes, and we can make sure that no bad code push to the repository, and so we don't have to worry about that. All the runtime checks will be in place. So here is we generally use the GitLab for our code management. So here is the general example for GitLab CI/CD. To enable CI/CD continuous integration and continuous deployment, you need to configure a runner on GitLab, then register runners on your machine, then assign runner to a particular project, set up SSH key for GitLab runner, then assign permission as needed, and write your configuration file, then what you want to do in the particular instance. Like as I already told, in case of development instance, it might possible that we have shared resources among all the instance. For testing instance, to test each new feature, we have to drop DB and recreate with new with the feature thing. And for production, there is a sort of different configuration changes. So we can all define in the gitlab.gitlab/ci.yml file. It's a configuration file for the GitLab CI/CD. So, do we have any question regarding the last point, GitLab CI/CD? So far, so good. So, we are talking about the performance improvement and the high availability, like in case of OFBs, if you want high availability, then you can deploy multiple OFBs instance. But to manage all these hosts, you need a load balancer. So what load balancer did, it make sure that any node does not get the overload, does not overload it. So if a load is increased on any instance, then it redirect traffic to the another one, so that it balance the load on your infra. So load balancing improve the application responsiveness itself as well. Like if you are distributing load proper on all the hosts, so the response time is much faster rather than if you are using the single instance for managing all sort of things. So there are lots of advantage using load balancing. It increase the scalability, reduce the redundancy, reduce the downtime. Like if you want to if you want to deploy the new release, then you don't need to shut down your existing site. You can up site one by one, so that site is up and all the all the instances are deployed one by one. So there is a less chances that you have any downtime. It, as already told, it distribute the load in the multiple instances, so it definitely increase the performance. Like a single instance never serve for all the requests, so it load get distributed. So we are good. Like in case of OFBs has its own job pooler to manage the load for the job scheduling thing, but as it's written in very early stage, so it's not compatible with the latest load balancing or sort of thing. So it might possible that to manage the load balancing for the job scheduling thing, we may need to improve code at OFB site so that it will be compatible with the latest technologies like load balancing and cluster environment setup. So here is the simple architecture for the load balancer. We have the three OFBs host, one RDS and one host for the load balancer. So a load balancer get all the traffic from internet. It's a single point of contact, and based on the load, it distributed the request on the multiple host, and all hosts are connected with the same database configuration because you are using the same database thing. So for this, set up multiple OFB host with the single database and the load balancer, so we can easily configure it. And there are lots of services on cloud that provide the load balancing. One of them is AWS Elastic sort of thing that is used for the load balancing setup. Earlier we used HAProxy thing, so it's kind of a traditional thing. So you use a traditional HAProxy for the load balancer thing. But nowadays we are having much better and reliable services on the cloud, so that we can use that can be used on our instances. So while configuring load balancing, following details should be considered, like as I already told about OFB's job pooler. So we need to configure it accordingly, so that the system does not get the deadlock for the job execution, or same job cannot be executed by the two install. So we need to configure the job pooler. Again, HAProxy is the traditional thing that we use to configure Tomcat sessions. But for the modern era, we can use the AWS Elastic or other cloud services, so that it can improve the OFB's performance and its response time. And another one is the sticky session. Like if we are using load balancing, then it might be possible that a request from single user can be distributed to multiple hosts. So as OFB relies on session, so it might possible that for each instance, it's create a new session and user get an abnormal behavior on site. So to reduce this thing, the simplest way is to configure a sticky session, so that if a session created for a user, then all the requests coming from that user should be redirected to the same machine. But again, there is a pros and cons using a sticky session, so that each time it will redirect same user load for the same machine. So it might get possible that a machine can have multiple users and rest are in ideal condition. But it's the easiest way to achieve load balancing or cluster thing with OFB. So it would be good to go with sticky session. So like sticky session, why session management is required for load balancing? So as already discussed, that session management is the process of securing multiple requests to a service from the same user, and it helps to achieve the high performance. So session management is mainly required when you are configuring the load balancing and cluster thing.
So maybe in the future, one of the tasks of the community, the OFB's community, could be that of refactoring some internals of the framework.
Yes.
To make it less reliant on sessions.
Sessions, right. And
so
if we... Yes, and if we are able to achieve that, then we can have the REST implementation possible as well. So that in case of REST, there is no server-side session. So yes, that would be a good improvement for the OFB. So like session management, there are two type of session management. One is sticky session and one is distributed session. So like sticky session is a most commonly session maintained by the JVM route. It's maintained at the JVM, Java Virtual Machine level. When using a sticky session, server with your network don't need to exchange session data, because all requests will be redirected to the same server. So it's get the session from the request. And session is nothing but a chain of request and response from the same user or same browser. And sticky session allow for more efficient utilization of your application RAM caching, resulting a better responsiveness. But as I earlier told, that if we are using the load balancing, so it might possible if a 10 session created on same machine and they are active user, then all our the request will be redirected to the same machine and rest will be in ideal condition. So like it's from the old good school thing, so easy to achieve and we can easily configure it web-based.
Yeah, or if that specific instance goes crack,
goes down, yes.
That would cause the loss of the live session.
That's exactly. Another one is the distributed session management. So in case of distributed session management, it's generally relies on the caching thing. So in this case, your system does not rely on any session at the server side. There is some middleware tool that will take care of all the session management and session replication thing. So the distributed session cache is an independent service that acts as a centralized session repository for all cluster. So you don't need to worry about the where the session is created. It's managed by the middleware. The distributed session cache is most commonly used to achieve failover. Like as Yak already said, that if we are getting, we configure the sticky session and that instance get down, then we can lose the session and lose the customer. So the same in case of distributed session management, if the particular instance get down, that nothing to worry about that, because all the session is taken care by the middleware thing and it's responsible for the its execution. So we can achieve the failover things over there. Like in case of distribution management thing, there are lots of tools available in market like Redis, Memcache and other sort of thing. But to configure distributed session with OFBiz, you need to do changes at code level. Like you need to enable, you need to use the connector so that all the session data can be persisted at the middleware or the Redis sort of thing. And then one thing is the connection, and other thing is that all the session related thing, because the middleware thing serialize the session and store it in the cache, it's some like of key value pair thing. So in case of OFBiz, there are some objects that are not serializable. So we need to make code level changes so that these objects can be serialized and store it in session, or there are alternate way to get them from instead of session. So like shopping cart and the security object and the dispatcher delegator. So some of the objects are not serializable from them. So we have to define a different route to access them. So definitely, if we want to achieve the distributed session management, then definitely we need to do some code level changes as well. So anything, any question? So far so good. So here's the recap. So we talked about the Docker and AMI images and what are the advantage of using these images. Then how can we deploy OFBiz on cloud and how can we leverage cloud services for the OFBiz deployment so that we can have much better performance, responsiveness and high availability. Then we talked about the various cloud services like AWS Google Cloud and AWS RDS, Elastic, Amazon Lambda and sort of thing. Then cloud database, and then we talked about CI/CD. And we took an example of GitLab CI/CD and then session. There are some references from where I took the content from this. So these are the reference link. So any question? Yes.
So Deepak, have you used the Jenkins and cloud environment?
Yes, we had a POC with Jenkins that used for the CI/CD sort of thing. It manages the pipeline and the all deployment sort of thing. But we had it in the last year. Then after Jenkins improved their services to compliant with the cloud things. So that's, yes, Jenkins. Billboard is also there, but it's kind of outdated. So Jenkins is the good tool for the cloud deployment as well.
So do we have Jenkins services available in the Amazon?
Yes, yes.
Okay. And you were saying that we have some options available for cloud management. We can manage OFBiz on Amazon Web Services, mm-hmm. Azure, or
Google Cloud.
Right? Mm-hmm. So do you have some kind of recommendations, like you are using OFBiz in a cloud since so many years.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have any recommendations for us, like we can go with Amazon Web Services or Google Cloud, mm-hmm. or Azure, these are the benefits of using Amazon Web Services and these are the benefits. Do you have some recommendations?
For the recommendation thing, is depends on your needs and requirement. Like I am used to use the AWS services frequently. And all sort of its RDS, enhanced networking, and the Lambda services, all sort of thing. But yes, if you want an application that is required to integrate with Microsoft ERPs, then it would be good to go with Amazon Azure, because they have all the cloud services available on their infra. So there is nothing complication to get communication with these instances. And like cloud is also a good option. I haven't explored it much, but it's also good. So in my preference, I am using the AWS services, and I am quite happy with those things. And we are also exploring the Microsoft Azure, so that it has the Microsoft ERPs running on the cloud. So based on your need and requirement, so you can easily configure these instances.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? So we are, I think, good. We have 3 minutes less required. So like if you have any query and concern, you can directly shoot an email to me. I will happy to help you. And thank you for listening me. It was my first presentation and I was quite nervous. So you are a very good audience. You listen very carefully. So thank you.